Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. The Buffalo Bills are 1-0 after an impressive season-opening win over the New York Jets. Impressive not that they dominated from start to end, but impressive that they kept their wits about them. Came back from two touchdowns down in the fourth quarter to pull out a victory that I didn't really see coming in the moment, but they were able to pull it off. We've got questions this week off of voicemail, off Twitter, and a lot of folks wondering about the offense going forward. The defense, people don't seem to be questioning very much. I wonder why. You can send in your questions for next week's episode at 716-508-0405. Tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. Send us Facebook or Instagram messages. Leave comments in the comment section at BuffaloRumblings.com. Lots of ways to get in touch with the show. Email BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. Let's get to this week's questions. In my post-game column, I led with my question of the week, the question I've been getting a lot: how did that just happen? The Bills had no business winning that game. Four turnovers in their first six possessions, all in the first half, and yet they were only down 6-0 going into halftime. Just shows how great the defense was on Sunday. They also had a couple near interceptions with a drop pick and an interception that was overturned by a penalty. They gave up a safety. It was a long slog in the first half and part of the third quarter. Josh Allen, according to The Athletic, was able to rally the troops, keep telling the defense to play well because he was going to get his poop together. He did not use the word poop, but this is a family podcast, folks. It was a resilient win. I really liked what I saw from them, and that was the lead question off of my post-game column. You can find that at BuffaloRumblings.com, my five observations column. Next was the welcome back pass rush. The Bills were able to get four sacks of Sam Darnold. That was awesome. They were in the backfield constantly. Ed Oliver was able to move him off of his spot. Jordan Poyer, Shaq Lawson, Lorenzo Alexander each had sacks. Jerry Hughes had a sack and a half, so there was four sacks total. It was just really nice to see the pass rush back again. The rushing attack was ignored for the first part of the game. This is my third bullet point for my opinion piece. Devin Singletary came in. 70 yards on just four carries late in the game, providing a huge spark for the Bills down the stretch. But where was it earlier in the game? I know they're trying to get Josh Allen a little bit more comfortable in the first quarter, but I think they opened with 20 straight passes or something like that. It was not great, Bob. He looked in command on the first drive, but eventually it just lets your pass rushers tee up on you, and that's exactly what they did, and Deion Dawkins couldn't really handle it. They needed to put the Jets defenders back on their heels a little bit, and it eventually worked. Speaking of worked, the defense really, really worked. That was my fourth bullet point for my opinion piece. They were able to turn... the Bills' defense was put in bad situation after bad situation, but they only allowed 8 points in the entire game. The Bills' offense also allowed 8 points, so that's a thing. They played really, really great, and they kept making big plays at big moments where you thought the Jets might be able to get a first down conversion to, give the Bills, say, a minute and a half on their final drive. Instead, the Bills defense was able to get off the field. Some bad passes, some sacks. It was just really nice play. Trey Edmonds really impressed me in the first half in particular, but really throughout the game. The Bills defense was able to hold Le'Veon Bell to 4 yards per touch. That's receiving and rushing combined, so 4 yards per touch. His career average is 5.2, so they were able to keep him in check. And by all accounts, he was frustrated in the post-game locker room and on Monday because the Bills were able to bottle him up so consistently. And then, speaking of consistency, the Bills didn't want any on their offensive line. They had Mitch Morse playing in his first game, his first meaningful action since joining the Bills. John Feliciano switched over from center to guard because he had been replacing Morse at center. And then they rotated Ty Nsekhe and Cody Ford, each getting about half the snaps. Early on in the game, it was 2-1, with Ford getting 2 series and Nsekhe getting 1. But then as the game wore on and it got tighter and tighter, Nsekhe was out there on multiple drives in the fourth quarter. So they really don't care about continuity, even though they say they do. They are trying to get Ford worked in and give him confidence, but they also know that Nseki's better than him, or at least that's what they're telling me when they do that rotation. So that's all in my post-game column. You can go to BuffaloRumblings.com and check that out. Now it's time to get to some questions. Our first question of the day comes from our voicemail line at 716-508-0405.
Hey, this is Rory calling from Kalispell, Montana. Just wondering, do we think that the issues Josh Allen were having Sunday were just a case of sort of first game jitters, or are they going to be a concern moving forward, all of the different turnovers and near interceptions that he was throwing? Second question was, the defense looked really good. Obviously, you know, we had some expectations for them being good this year, but how much of that is a factor of the Jets' offense being bad or their line being bad? Or do we think, you know, this is a look we should expect for the rest of the year against better teams? Thanks.
Hi, Rory. Thanks for calling in from Montana. I always think of the Hunt for Red October when I hear someone's from Montana. Go look it up, kids. To answer your first question, Josh Allen was kind of all over the place, but I think he's still going to have games like that. We published an article over the offseason about how his development, and really anybody's development, is going to be nonlinear. He's going to take a step back. He's going to take steps forward. I think pulling out the win, showing that he was capable of playing well down the stretch, I think was a net positive. But he had some very, very bad decisions in this game. I don't think it's necessarily an indication that he's going to be great or he's going to be terrible. I think it's just another step in the process, pardon the expression. But I think that it's part of his growing pains that he's going to have good games and then he's going to take a step back. If we keep seeing passes like that throughout, the next, 5 or 6 games, I think then it's time to worry. But I don't think it was related to being in the first game, unless you want to just say that his communication is still needs a little bit of work. I mean, he's been with Brian Daboll long enough to not have some of the problems he had today. He's making throws that he shouldn't be making, but at the same time, I don't think there was like a miscommunication issue with Cole Beasley on that interception where Beasley tips it up in the air. I think it was just bad luck. And those ones don't bother me as much as the late pass he had to the right side of the field on the screen that was almost picked off, that almost interception. So as long as he's not throwing it against his body and making too many of those bad decisions, I'm okay with it. The botched snap with Mitch Morse, I'm not really worried about that. Those guys are going to get that chemistry, and they won't have Quinnen Williams bashing Mitch Morse in the face very much. So I'm not exactly worried about it. For your second question, I really like how you framed it. I don't think that the Jets have a bad offense necessarily. I mean, the Bills defense was really, really gunning to stop Le'Veon Bell, and they did that. But they also gave up, 9 catches over the middle to Jameis Crowder, just by leaving him the space in the middle of the field to do that. The The game plan was clearly to stop Le'Veon Bell. They were able to bottle him up. They put Tremaine Edmonds on him, and he was able to do that. The Bills' front four was able to generate a pass rush without any blitzing help, which really helped. That's probably more of a symptom of the Jets' offensive line than it is of the Bills having this renewed pass rush. But, you know, they played solid. Everybody played solid. Jordan Poyer made a couple nice plays. Tre'Davious White apparently was so good that they didn't even want to throw it at him. The Bills did a nice job outside of Saran Neal coming in and replacing Taron Johnson. That's something that they're going to have to address this week, and I'm frankly surprised that they haven't yet, considering it's already Tuesday. So I think the defense played really well. The front four was able to take advantage of the Jets' offensive line. I'm not going to say that it was like the Vikings game a year ago where it was all pass rush and everything on the back end was just kind of feeding off of that. The Bills had a really nice plan in place with their linebackers. There was a couple of defensive line zone blitzes where they dropped into coverage, and seeing Ed Oliver in coverage isn't something I want to see very often. Definitely don't want to see Jordan Phillips in coverage very often, but it's I think the defense just played really well on Sunday, and hopefully we can see that going forward. They're not built necessarily to face, say, Tom Brady and the Patriots with five receiver sets and spreading out the field out. You know, they don't necessarily have the cornerback depth to do that right now. So the next couple weeks, Bills should be okay, but we'll have to see what happens in week four and beyond. Thanks for your question all the way from Montana at 716-508-0405. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Our Twitter question of the week comes into @RumblingsQ&A from Scott. Why are we not featuring Devin Singletary? It's a great question. He was in on a ton of snaps. I think he played 40-something snaps. He went out and passed routes a ton, but wasn't targeted very often in those. And he did have one drop in the passing game on Sunday. They didn't let him run the ball really until the second half, where he obviously exploded for 70 yards on four carries. He did have 20-something yards through the air as well to add to that total. So he had a really nice NFL debut. I think they're trying to get Josh Allen a little bit of a read on the Jets defense with Greg Williams coming in. Josh Allen hadn't really seen a Greg Williams defense before, so that's why you saw Patrick DeMarco split out wide. They were trying to give him an opportunity to read what the defense was giving him, and they can do that by putting a fullback in the game, but then splitting him out so that they can see where the linebackers are going in kind of response to that. So I think that's what they were trying to do at the very beginning of the game, was get Josh Allen a little bit acclimated to the Greg Williams defense. It worked on the first drive, and then they had the fumble. And then on the ensuing drives, they just really went away from it. Maybe it's because of C.J. Mosley in the middle of the Jets defense, maybe. But for whatever reason, they didn't really feature Singletary that much. until later in the game. And, of course, he was able to have that great game. I suspect that they will feature him more going down the stretch as he gets his feet wet, as they face a little bit more more bland defenses. You'll see a little bit more of a traditional running game out of the Bills. But I keep waffling back and forth on this play calling by Brian Daboll, because I think part of it was really genius, and I think part of it was absolutely crazy. Like you, I was wondering why Singletary wasn't involved more earlier. So I'm a little bit with you on this one, but I thought that it worked well as long as they weren't turning the ball over, which, you know, kind of is a big deal. I wanted to give one more shout out on Twitter. Shane Collins asked us why the play calling in the first half included one or two designed running plays. And they all go kind of hand in hand with that conversation around trying to figure out what the Jets were going to do on defense and handling the pressure that the Jets were going to bring in the Greg Williams defense. Dude loves to blitz. He was regularly sending five or six guys. So the Bills spread it out just a little bit, especially with DeMarco split out wide. I remember seeing it in the first few plays, and I was pretty flabbergasted by it until I started thinking about why they would do that. And then he caught his first pass on the outside. I'm like, that's not why they did that. They were trying to move the linebackers around, get a little bit of a clearer lane for Josh Allen. And it ended up working, like I said. They had bad luck on the Cole Beasley over the middle interception. They had bad luck on the Mitch Morse fumble. But even that was on fourth down. I didn't love the third down play call there. I didn't love the QB sneak on third down. It was third and two. It was a long one, a short two, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, putting everybody in the box when you got Josh Allen, you could spread everybody out and run for it a little bit easier, I think. So I didn't love the play calling, don't get me wrong, but there was definitely reasons for it. Thanks for both your questions at Romlinks Q&A on Twitter. Back to the phone lines we go. 716-508-0405.
Hey, it's Ron from New Mexico, with a face for radio, a voice for print, and a wife listening to Lady Gaga on her phone in the background. Is it better to be lucky or good? Alan was both at various times today.
Thanks for your question, Ron. I didn't hear the Lady Gaga in the background, but maybe some of you other ones did. The question, though, is it better to be lucky than good? He was definitely lucky several times on Sunday. I don't know. It's better to be good, because I tend to believe that folks make their own luck. And when you put yourself in a good position and do things the right way, whether it's mechanics or decision making or whatever it happens to be, I think you end up getting, you know, better breaks because you're more prepared, and you're better able to handle when bad things come your way. So I think the Bills were really snake bit in a lot of ways on Sunday, and still were able to overcome it. So to your question, is it better to be lucky or good? It's better to be good, for sure, because then you'll be at least in a position to get lucky and to make the right plays when the opportunity presents itself or when the ball bounces your way. There's never going to be a replacement for the ball just bouncing the correct way on a fumble. You know, if it had bounced forward and one of the Bills' offensive linemen had fallen on it on that fourth down snap that Mitch Morse and Josh Allen couldn't figure out, like, that would have been lucky and that would have been great. There's no better way to do that. Like, it's not like he was in a bad position or something like that. So it's definitely better to be good than lucky, but sometimes the ball just bounces the wrong way, like it did off Cole Beasley's hands. Thanks for the question, Ron. 716-508-0405. Looking ahead, the Bills have a couple of winnable games here coming up against the New York Giants in New Jersey and against the Cincinnati Bengals at home before they host the New England Patriots to finish off September. Then they travel to Tennessee at the beginning of October and then host the Dolphins October 20th after the bye week. There's a lot of winnable games there. They could really make a dent in the standings. over the next few weeks, but they still have questions facing them as well. The biggest question in my mind right now is what's going to happen at nickel cornerback. When Taron Johnson went out, Saran Neal came in, and he was bad, especially that two-point conversion where I don't know what he was doing. If your job is to knock down the ball, you don't have to hit it into the, you know, out of the stadium or whatever, but he took a huge swipe at it and completely whiffed on it, allowing the Jets to score their two-point conversion. The Bills are going to have a problem at nickel cornerback. E.J. Gaines was the guy that they had brought in to kind of back up Taron Johnson in case Johnson got hurt. He was hurt in his first game. He said he heard his hamstring pop. We'll see how long that actually keeps him out. But they can't go into week two with Saran Neal's there, nickel cornerback. So they're going to have to bring in a guy like Captain Munnerlyn, who was on their roster during training camp but was released at final cuts, or somebody else. And it's just not a great situation with Gaines himself hurt. So they had depth, but then they lost it. And they're really going to have to address it moving forward because it was really a weak point, and the Jets were able to exploit it for a little bit. The Bills have some really great coverage linebackers, but they also need that kind of shiftier cornerback that can cover a guy in the slot. So it'll be interesting to see where they go from that. On the offensive side of the ball, more and more consistency, even though they're obviously not really too concerned about it because they rotated Nsekhe and Ford so much, but really getting that consistency, even on the exchange between the center, Mitch Morris, and the quarterback, Josh Allen. They really need to work on consistency really across the entire offense, whether it's catching the ball by Cole Beasley, maybe running some run plays in the first quarter, you know, things like that. So it'll be interesting to see going forward against the New York Giants, who also have a stout running back in Saquon Barkley, if the Bills are going to be able to contain him as much as they were able to contain Le'Veon Bell. And I'm not necessarily worried about the Giants and their receiving core and their passing attack, but Barkley could present some challenges to them. So it's another big test for the Bills this Sunday against the New York Giants. Tune into all the Buffalo Rumblings podcasts. We've got Blitz Bills, Buffalo Rumblings Q&A, Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, The Nick and Nolan Show, Believe, and Circling the Wagons. They've all got great content. We've got another podcast potentially coming your way this week or next week. And we're going to be debuting a brand new show, so keep your eyes peeled for that and your ears peeled for that. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A, but don't forget to send in your questions for next week's episode at 716-508-0405. You can call and leave a voicemail or text that number. You can tweet us at Rumblings Q&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. Send us emails, buffalorumblings@sbnation.com. Comment in the comment section of our show notes at buffalorumblings.com. Instagram, Facebook messages, lots of ways to get in touch with the show and have your voice be heard. Always looking for some great callers and questions for the next week's episode. Go Bills!
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Coke Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.